Welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy the background. I know for myself, it's the first thing that I look for whenever I click on a podcast. It's, what's the background? The meticulously calculated background. Where are they? What's behind them? What books are those? Let me zoom in and make a note. Well, hey, this is it. I hope you like it. Now, this is something that I've wanted to do for a very long time now, start a podcast, and I want to approach things here a little differently than the way I do on my other YouTube channel, Julian Himself, which covers letting go, transformational work, and trauma healing. And what I want to do here is ultimately to have an outlet that's a bit more raw, a bit more personal, a bit more conversational, where I can share with you what I am personally going through and learning in life. And this is a question that I do get all the time, which is, Julian, what are you working on? Hey, thank you for teaching us how to let go, but what are you struggling with right now? Right? What's going on in your life? What's the obstacle you are trying to overcome? And for myself, as a parent of two, I have two daughters, the main thing I'm working on is parenting, how to be a parent. And that's what this channel is going to be about, how to transform your parenting experience. Now, before you click off, because I see you thinking, hey, that's nice and all, Julian, but I'm not a parent. I don't have kids. Well, guess what? Listen up, because realize this, you do have kids. You have a kid, because you currently are in a relationship with you. And it's not a romantic relationship. It is a parent-child relationship. I'm sure you've heard about the term inner child or inner child healing. Well, guess what? That applies to you. Right now, it's not just you. There are two of you. And if you don't believe me, just sit in silence for 10 seconds and see what comes up in here. Let's get serious, right? 10 seconds in silence. And what's that little voice saying in your mind? Well, I have to sit here 10 seconds. What are you doing, wasting your time watching this podcast about parenting? You don't have any kids. This inner child thing is woo-woo. It's a ridiculous term. You suck. Remember this thing that happened yesterday? Remember this thing that happened when you were 5? The self-talk tends to be very negative. In fact, most people design their lives to never sit in silence, right? You come home after work, immediately it's TV, music, anything to avoid what's going on in here. Well, guess what? You're in a relationship. It's you and you. And once more, it's parent you and child you. And here's the thing. What you're going to learn on this channel doesn't just apply to parenting in the real world. It also applies to parenting, or more specifically, reparenting yourself. There's a reason there's the saying, you teach your children, but they also teach you. Guess what? My daughters taught me more about myself and accelerated my own journey, my own transformational journey, more than anything. Why? Because it's externalized. You see it. You see the dynamics. It's much more tangible to see it when there's a physical kid as opposed to the inner child inside. So what you're going to learn here, you can also apply to you. Once more, the art of reparenting yourself. And there's a certain beauty in that, by the way. You know, you can't pick your parents. Perhaps you're born under terrible circumstances. Perhaps your parents were terrible. Perhaps you had no parents. But here's the thing, and this is also the essence of ultimately a lot of deep inner work or transformational work, is that you might have not gotten what you needed growing up. Perhaps you didn't have a good parent, you didn't have good role models, you didn't receive love, so on and so forth. And that is just life. You're thrown into life and hey, this is what you get. However, this doesn't mean that you're screwed for the rest of your life. Because, as I just said, you can reparent yourself. You can give yourself now what you didn't receive back then. It's not too late. But you have to put your foot down and commit to reparenting yourself, as opposed to never doing it, never giving yourself what you didn't get, and even worse, repeating toxic patterns that were programmed into you from whoever was raising you at a very young age. And I do see this a lot in my clients. It's insane. Okay, let this land. You might think that, hey, now that you're an adult, I can escape, you know, the toxic environment that I grew up in, right? I can escape my toxic parents. Yet you don't really, because the same patterns are going on in here. Meaning perhaps you had very, like, you could say verbally abusive parents. Well, hey, what's that little voice doing in here? Is it still verbally abusive? And if so, you didn't really escape them. They still live in here. The patterns still live in here. And that's stuff to be aware of, let go of, and ultimately change. And you're going to gain a lot of insight here on this channel. A rule that I personally live by, since having kids, by the way, is this. If you wouldn't say it to your kid, don't say it to you. I'll say it again. If you wouldn't say it to your kid, don't say it to you. So once more, as I talked about, having children is very tangible, right? Imagine your child is scared, or perhaps, oh, I'm scared to do this thing. I don't want to do this thing, and perhaps procrastinating. Well, how would you approach that? What would you tell your kid? Would you be empathetic? Would you be supportive? Would you be loving? Or would you be harsh and mean and ultimately insulting, right? You would be loving. Is that how you approach things with you in those situations? Think of the last time you might have been a little scared or procrastinating, putting things off. I don't know. What does that voice say inside? Is it loving and compassionate? Or is it, oh, you suck. Look at you. You're not taking action. Step it up, loser. You suck. Look at that. You're never going to make it. You're such a failure. Whoa. Catch it. Live by this rule. It'll change your life. Catch the voice inside and say, hey, hey, hey. Would I say this to someone out here in the real world? Would I say this to my kid? Oh, loser. No, you wouldn't. So why are you saying it to you? Write that down. If I wouldn't say it to my kid, don't say it to me. Okay? That's one of the big rules. And once more, an example of how this advice doesn't just apply to parenting, but also reparenting ourselves. Okay? Now, I'm not saying here in this podcast that I have everything figured out when it comes to parenting. Okay, at the time that I'm recording this, I have two daughters, as I mentioned before. My eldest is 3. She's going to turn 4 in June, and my youngest is going to turn 2 in September. Okay, so that's the range of my experience. However, due to my background in coaching, where from 2010 to 2014, I specialized in coaching communication skills and social skills, right? How to socialize, social intelligence, emotional intelligence, reading the various channels of communication, so on and so forth. And from 2014 on, up until this day, I specialize in teaching deep inner work, letting go, trauma healing. What I found is that both of those domains have had an immense impact on the way that I parent my kids. And I would never have thought of this back in the day. So think of social skills, right? Or communication skills. Whenever you see a topic like that, you're probably thinking, ah, social skills, great. I'm going to learn how to meet new people. And that's true. It will help you meet new people. It will help you network. It will help you get a promotion, navigate the complexities of conversation, so on and so forth. Yes. And that's why I originally did it. I was extremely shy, extremely anxious, and I worked on my social skills from 2006 on. And in 2010, I started coaching it. And I always thought, this is great. It allows people to break free, again, make friends, get into relationships. But it never occurred to me that it would actually help me the most with parenting. And I don't see anyone talking about this, right? All the mainstream parenting advice, no one talks about, hey, you also have to improve your social skills. Now, why is that? Well, hey, parenting, there's of course the general tips, mindsets, and advice, but a lot of it will come down to you being able to read and understand your child, being able to put yourself in their shoes, being able to see what's going on beneath the surface. Right? Every single behavior, every single word is always linked, for example, and this is classic parenting, to a need. And if you aren't able to really see into your child and see what that need is, you're not going to do a very good job, right? You can also think of it like this. In any interaction or conversation, no matter who you're talking to, you and your child, for example, there are actually three conversations going on. So me talking to, say, one of my daughters, there are three conversations. There's the conversation that's happening out here, me and my daughter talking, right? The one you hear. If there was an audio recorder, that's what it would record. But then there's also the conversation going on in my head and the conversation going on in her head. And a lot of social skills and ultimately deep empathy is learning how to listen to the conversation going on in their head. Not just the words out here, but what's going on in here. And if you're able to really develop a feel for this, which you can, it'll be much more impactful. And you'll get on the same page much faster and you'll know what to say, what to address, what concern to address. And that really comes down to social skills. Deep empathy, learning how to read people. And unfortunately, I see a lot of parents, even acquaintances, who just simply don't have the social skills, right? They haven't talked to a lot of people. They haven't worked on it. They haven't studied it. And I see sometimes the way they parent, and not to judge, but I judge. I'm like, what are you doing? Can't you see this? Like, can't you read that? Don't you have the basic social IQ, emotional IQ? And they don't. So there's a lot from that background, right? From my experience where I went out and I talked to a lot of people. And that, by the way, is part of social skills. You want to work on your social skills. There's things to be aware of. But ultimately, a big part of it will be talking to a lot of people, getting a lot of reference experiences. You want to get good socially? Talk to more people than the average person would in their entire life. And I did that. I've talked to so many people. And the more people you talk to, the more you start seeing patterns, the more you get a feel for it, so the more you're able to read people. And this doesn't mean manipulate people. Reading people is ultimately the basic requirement to connect with them. If you can't read them, how can you connect? Okay, in an interaction, it's expression and connection. So a lot of that has ultimately bled into how I parent my kids. And I'm going to be sharing that with you on this channel here. But that's going to be, you could say, one half of the influence on the insights. And the other half of the influence is from 2014 on, I've taught people how to let go, how to ultimately analyze the conditioning that they went through, how to identify patterns in their life, and how to ultimately stop the patterns that run them, and how to ultimately heal and process past trauma. And that obviously plays a big role in parenting. Right? It's stopping the cycles. At a most surface level, it's what I said before. If you wouldn't say it to your kid, don't say it to you. That's part of stopping the cycle. Now, that's just mentally. You actually have to do a lot of deep processing, and that's through feeling, not just thinking. But what I've learned from, at this point, 10 years of teaching this, so many clients all around the world, is there's ultimately a lot of tools and insights that you can apply directly to parenting, and no one's talking about that either. So I'm not an expert. Like I said, I have two very young daughters, but I do think that I have some unique insights. The way I approach things are quite different than what I see out there, right? Especially a lot of the mainstream advice. And this is a place for me to share that with you. So that's the gist of this channel. And I do want you to know here before we keep going that anything that I do share with you is not a replacement or substitute for therapy or seeking professional guidance. None of the advice here, none of it should ever override any of that. This is simply me sharing with you my journey as a parent and what I'm learning and what I'm doing when it comes to raising my kids. Okay, so welcome. Now, let's rewind time. And this is the first thing. I actually had this piece of advice saved because I've been thinking about this podcast for a while for the first episode. And it's a piece of advice rewinding time back to when my first daughter was born. Okay, so who am I again? I'm a coach, I'm helping people, and I get married. I'm excited. I'm like, yes, I'm gonna have my daughter. This is gonna be amazing. You know, you hear so much around parenting, around having kids, about such joy it is and such bliss and how it's the best thing ever and it'll make you the most fulfilled you've ever felt, which is true, by the way. But the one thing people don't tell you, and this is something I was fortunate enough to hear from one of my friends, Brandon Carter, who texted me once my daughter was born. And I wrote down what he texted me here. So my daughter's born, okay, 2020. And he texts me, congrats on the baby. Followed by, here is something that nobody told me. The first 6 months suck. Capital suck. Okay, so I'm still, by the way, in the hospital when I'm reading this, right? Like, let close people know and stuff. It's like a few days later, a couple days later. I wasn't there that long. A couple days. I was pretty fast at sharing the news. So he texts me, and I was expecting everyone to be like, congrats, it's gonna be so amazing. Oh, you're gonna be such a great dad, such a great parent. And he texts me, by the way, and he's the only one who said this, the first 6 months suck. People are lying online about how great it is. It's awful. But then it's capital awesome. Okay, so I read that. I was like, huh, interesting. Now I was very unprepared, to be clear. But it couldn't be more accurate. And this is something a lot of new parents, friends that I know who have had kids and friends who are about to have kids, you're in for a treat, because it's not what you see, as always, on social media. The first 6 months are really, really tough. They're not that great. Okay. One, you don't know your kid yet, right? You love your kid. You would die for your kid, but you don't know your kid. And the love that you experience is there, but it grows over time. So at first you're like, okay, here's this being that I love, but I don't know this being, right? And you'll notice through the years that love grows and grows and grows. But beyond that, you're in ultimately the hell period, the period of no sleep, the period of always having to wake up to feed the baby, the period of crying, the period of stress, because you know what you're dealing with. Ultimately, the first 6 months are not fun at all. It's actually a reason why people will have kids back to back, is because it sucks so much that they're like, we don't want to go back to this. While we're in it, let's just get this over with. Let's do another 6 months with number two and just get it done with. If we wait too long to have another kid, we're never going to go back to this because it sucks so much. And people do lie about it. As you said, people lie online. You'll go online, you'll go on your phone, and what are you going to see? A bunch of beautiful posts. Now, it did change in recent years. There is more realness, and you can find different accounts that share much more accurate information. But what you see online, as always, isn't reality, right? The parenting advice that goes, you know, there's someone, for example, who's like, you know, I'm still, rocking my kid to sleep at one and a half, at two, and it's the most beautiful thing. And you'll see a picture of, like, you know, the dad with the baby and like the kid, and like, that's not reality. That picture that you see of a parent, like even in the hospital, by the way, you just had the kid and you'll see the mother holding the baby. It's like, our kid is born, and like looking down all cute. That's a pose, especially if it's right after birth. It's not like, it's so blissful. It's like they just went through birth. And ultimately it's like in the middle of all this chaos, like, let's take a picture. And the parent's like, like holding in beautiful on social media. That's the version of, in the entrepreneur world, the private jet, right? It's like the entrepreneur who rented the Lamborghini, who rented the private jet, and it's like, look at my life. It's not reality, okay? The first 6 months are really tough. It's a punch in the face, not just due to the workload, but also due to mainly emotionally and mentally, right? It's a complete shift in who you were before and who you are after that. Like, the old me is dead. The old me is not here anymore. I'm a different person since having my first daughter, a completely different person. Now, of course, you transcend and there's still the aspects of the old you, but there's a period of mourning. You mourn the old you. You mourn the life that you had before this. And it's a really tough period to go through. For me, it was, I mean, honestly, the second or third toughest period of my life. For real. The most beautiful thing, but yet the toughest period of my life. And it'll trigger you. It'll challenge you. It'll challenge your relationship. You're on low sleep. Your partner's on low sleep. It's absolute chaos. It's ultimately the biggest disruptor. Now, I have two children, as I said, two daughters. The way I always say it is the first one was worse in terms of punch in the face. The second one was harder, but not as bad because you're used to it. So the first one's more of an adjustment. The second one is technically harder because now there's more work and you're spinning more plates, but you're already a bit used to it. So there's less of an emotional hit. But the first one's really hard and no one says this, right? People are so scared of being labeled a bad parent, aren't you grateful for your children? So they hide it. They say it's the most amazing thing ever, right? Oh, everything's going great. Like ask any parent, how's it going? Oh, it's all so great. It's so great. Is it, don't be a little people pleaser, right? The parenting's going so great is the same as how you doing? Good. I'm good. I'm good. Are you really good? So people put up these fronts and don't fall for it. Okay. If you're in the middle of it now, you're in that hell period. Just know, going back to this text, yeah, it sucks. Embrace the suck. It's what it is. Everyone's going through it. Don't fall for social media. Don't fall for the fronts. Know that what's most personal is most universal, and everyone is going through it. Now, there might be some people, even who comment on this, who are like, that's not true, Julian. My experience was different. But usually those are people who are, let's just say, have older children and ultimately have blocked off a lot of the bad parts. Like even me recording this now, I made a video about this on my Julian Himself channel that was a bit more fresh. I'm going into some detail, but I'm like, yeah, it was bad, but I literally blocked off so much of it, so much. It's funny, when I had my second daughter, it sparked back a lot of the things I blocked off. I'm like, oh, we have to do that. Oh, that again. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, like you block it off completely. So just know that it's not just you. Yeah, it's tough. I know it's tough. Embrace the suck and don't fall for the lies. Okay, now there is, of course, one way to escape it, which is hire an army of nannies. But that depends, of course, on your budget and lifestyle or parenting style. For myself, I just always wanted to be involved, right? I have friends, especially entrepreneur friends, business friends, who always tell me, like, just get a bunch of nannies, right? Get a bunch of, you can afford it, get nannies. And I'm like, I don't want to, right? They're like, what do you mean? The first 6 months are hard. You just go in, say hi to the kid, and the nanny does the rest. I'm like, yeah, but that's not the parenting experience that I want, right? I want to be there, especially at such a young age where they're just taking it all in. And for me, that wasn't me. So when I'm saying this, it doesn't mean like, oh, I'm screwed. No, you can also hire an army of nannies. But if you are going to be there and really there, embrace the suck. It's going to trigger a lot. Now, you'll also learn a lot about yourself, but don't fall for the parenting version of the private jet. Okay. And the other thing that it will challenge you with, and this is something that you can apply whether you have kids or not, is that once more, depending on your parenting style, but for me, wanting to be very involved in my child's life from the start, it immediately challenges, you could say, how you spend your time. I'll put it that way, right? It forces you to ultimately become ruthless with how you spend your time and to ultimately become ruthless with how you prioritize what you do. And this is actually a hidden benefit. So I'll put it this way, okay? Since having my first daughter, and it got, of course, even worse since having my second daughter, I have way less free time. And I have way less free time, I mean, just when it comes to me and myself, right? Very, very little free time. But I also have less free time to work. I have less energy. I can't focus as long as I could before because I'm zapped, right? I don't want to just withhold all that for work and take it away from my kids. It's going towards my kids. So now I'm spending all this time, you know, raising my kids, taking care of my kids, but I still have to work. I go to sit down to work and I'm just drained and I'm just tired and I have, again, less time, less energy. Now, you would think this is a bad thing. You're like, oh, that sounds rough. How are you going to do it? But here's what I'll share with you. Me pre-kids versus me post-kids. Post-kids, when it comes to work, when it comes to my brand, right, Julian himself, when it comes to my income, when it comes to my impact, when it comes to the quality of content and videos that I'm putting out there, everything has increased tremendously. Now, it's interesting to think about. You're like, wait a minute. So by working less, right, having less time to work, being more tired, being more drained, so on and so forth, you're actually accomplishing more? And the answer is yes. And that was, you could say, the blessing in disguise. Now, why is it? Well, number one, I didn't have the luxury of doing things that seem productive, but that aren't. It robbed me of that luxury. And that's something that I had pre-kids, where I was working a ton, right? It's not like, oh, you have less time now, and now I'm working. No, I was working more before kids. But because I had so much time, it gave me the luxury to do what I call productive procrastination, to focus on tasks that have an ROI, return on investment, but not the biggest ROI, right? There's a book called The One Thing, which I'd recommend reading. I also made a video book review about on my Julian Himself channel that says focus on the one thing, the most important thing that gives the biggest return. And that's what it forced me to do. I was, for the most part, focused on the one thing, but I had the luxury of time where I could focus on other little things, right? Hey, let me focus on this thing. Oh, let me tweak this little social media banner. Now, does improving, for example, a social media banner help? Sure, yeah. But how much does it help? 0.001%. So ultimately, it forced me to write down everything that I was doing. And next to it, and this is what I suggest you do, by the way, parent or not, and if you are a parent, this will help you accomplish a lot, because you might be, and this is a big point of resentment in parents, I don't have the time anymore because of this kid. And it gets you to resent your kid. Hey, you're most likely not maximizing the little time that you do have. So do this. Write down everything that you have to do, right? All the tasks. Then next to the tasks, in terms of what you want to accomplish, where you're going, so on and so forth, write down how big the return on investment is, how big the ROI is. Is it 0.01%? Is it more than that? Right? Back in 2014, February, I launched my very first digital course, little side story. And I fell into this trap where launching that course, that program, was going to elevate my brand, my income, so on and so forth, big time. I was pushing me outside of my comfort zone, and I had a lot of self-sabotage and procrastination. And the way it would manifest is once more in this form of productive procrastination, where instead of, say, working on the course itself, I would, as the example I just gave, start tweaking the social media banner, right? Start doing these little things. Hey, let me just write this little email here. There's an ROI, but I don't have to do that. I should be doing the course first. That's the big one. And that's the thing. The little tasks that seem productive, but it's a small return, zap them. It'll challenge. If you're someone who's a bit more of a perfectionist, it'll challenge you, but you will actually accomplish a lot more. And that's what it did for me. Anything that was rooted in perfectionism, anything that was rooted in productive procrastination, all of that got zapped, and it forced me to be very, very ruthless with how I spend my time and prioritize exactly what I am doing. And a good test you can give yourself is whatever your goals are in life right now, ask yourself, what if you had to accomplish them in half the time? How would you go about it? What would you eliminate? Okay, well, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do that. I really wanted to do that, but I don't have time. And then you're left with the core thing. And then do that. And another perspective that really helps is asking yourself, how can I make this easy? Right now, we don't really like this. It's like, what do you mean make it easy? Right? the hustle culture, so on and so forth. Everyone's like, go, 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 work, work, don't make it easy. There's glory in hard work. But no, it's one of the most powerful questions you can ask yourself. How can I achieve success the easiest, laziest way possible? How can I make it easy without, of course, sacrificing the result? And that's what I did. Prioritize ruthlessly. What's the most high ROI activities? Only do those. And the way I approach them is I make it easy. And by doing so, things improved drastically, even though I had less time, less energy, so on and so forth. So keep that in mind. Oh, I don't have much time right now. Prioritize. You're getting lost in the weeds. You're doing all this busy work, which, by the way, another great book to recommend, Busy by Tony Crabb. I also did a video about it. Amazing book. And it just shows us how, you know, we're doing all these things and we think we're so busy, but we're not really. You're not maximizing how you spend your time. And that is, once more, a blessing in disguise that comes from having children. It's like, hey, you have no choice now. You have to accomplish it. Now you have less time. Figure it out. And you do. Okay. And actually, another blessing in disguise, assuming you are a good parent, is motivation. Motivation rises like crazy because it's not just you now. You're responsible for a human, for a person. So, you know, if you're, it's like, you know, we always tend to care more about others. Like if someone else are like, oh, I'll do it for you. But when it comes to ourselves, like, yeah, whatever, it's just me. Well, here, hey, now there's someone depending on you. It's not just you. No matter how much you love yourself, hey, you have a responsibility now. And motivation, again, once more, assuming you're a good parent and you love and care about your kids, raises like crazy. Okay. So that's some of the first things that I wanted to share here. And I know it might sound a little negative, right? It's like the first 6 months suck. You will have no time. You will have no energy. But on the other side, I also want to say just how amazing it is, right? Like going back to that text, the first 6 months suck, but then it's awesome. And that's true. Capital awesome. There's no words that describe it. There's moments where you feel like your heart is going to explode out of your chest. Like it's, here's another blessing in disguise. Waking up in the morning, even though it's, you know, early and at the same time, like there's no more sleeping in. Waking up in the morning becomes the most amazing thing ever. People are like, you know, I wake up and I want to hit the snooze on my alarm. You want to know how to solve that? Have kids. Because you wake up and it's like Christmas morning every day, like running down to see what kind of presents are under the tree. You're just like, oh, I can't wait to see my kids. And you're just pulled out of bed. There's no snooze. Can you imagine snoozing? Like, oh, I have to see those, the kid faces, snooze. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to wake up perhaps groggy or tired, of course, right? I'm not, again, social media, don't fall for the conditioning. Don't think that every day it's like I wake up and I'm like, ha ha, kids. No, there's some days too where I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, but even in that tiredness and sometimes even the willingness to be like, oh, I just wish I could sleep more. There's a certain excitement and joy and just like, but I'm going to see my kids first thing in the morning. That's what I get to do. Oh, I cannot wait to see them. I cannot wait to wake up and see them. And then, you know, seeing them grow and once more seeing their personality form. I think it was Jordan Peterson who, and I might be paraphrasing. I feel like it was him. I saw a video, this is 2-3 years ago. And he was saying something like you know, getting to know your kids, it's like they're always there. Like their personality, who they are. Now, again, you could argue nature, nurture, but at a core, you could say it's always there and there's like a certain mist or clouds in the way. And as they grow and as you get to know them and interact with them, it's like they start piercing through that and you see more and more of them, of what was already there. And there's such a beauty in that, like getting to know your kid more and more and reliving ultimately, you know, life and childhood through their eyes. It's awesome. Another way to view it is, say you take your favorite movie, right? Your best movie you've ever seen, right? Which, by the way, my favorite movie is Apocalypse Now. Great movie, A Descent into Madness. But say you take your favorite movie and you have a very good friend who has never seen that movie. How excited are you to show your friend that movie? Now, I haven't shown my kid Apocalypse Now, but I also cannot wait for the day where I can show them Star Wars. But how excited are you that you sit down and you're like, check this out. Well, that's in a way, a small way, similar to having kids. It's check out life. You get to show life and experience again the like, it's very different showing a friend a movie for the first time because you get to kind of experience it through your friend, right? Just even feeling like knowing your friend is there, it's like rewatching it to a small degree the first time. Same with life. It's like you have a kid and you're reliving these moments and it's reminding you of those moments. There's a little side note. There was a specific moment I'll never, ever forget. And it was with my eldest daughter and it was when, and it sounds weird to say, it was when her imagination kicked in. Right. And I remember it vividly. It was like, it's kind of interesting to think about, right? Because at first, you know, they can't even really see that far, like this far, they can't form 3D perceptions, so on and so forth. And then they start talking, et cetera. And then there's this point where you're like, well, when does this thing like imagination click in? And it clicks in fast. It was like one day to another, we were playing with these little figurine toys. It was characters from the movie Encanto. And suddenly she started playing and saying, oh, there's this over here. And I'm like, what is she pointing out? And I'm like, oh, it's her imagination. Oh my God. And then you're able to play into that and create these things that aren't even there. Like suddenly, you know, it's like snakes are here and she sees them and play, and you're building this thing together. And it took me right back to moments in my childhood playing with my sister, figuring same thing. And we would play for hours and just get lost in it, just using our imagination. And it was the best. It was the best. And I got to relive that. And I forgot. Now, there's some of that in speaking and in life. It's like play and creating. And, you know, if I'm on stage doing a speech, it's like, in a way, livid dreaming. Right, it's like you're there, you're talking, but you're tapped into this imagination, and you're it's very hard to describe. Like you're drawing again, like influence from these ideas. It's like you're imagining and creating at the same. It's play, right? A more intellectual and structured, but there's this play essence to it. But playing with her was just pure play, and man, it was amazing. It really was. So, yeah, the first 6 months suck. And after that too, there's new challenges. You know, it doesn't get quote unquote easier. The challenges just change. But I'll put it this way. It's like signing up to play a game that will be the most triggering game ever, yet the most rewarding game ever. Like imagine, like, yeah, someone came and was like, hey, do you want to play this game? But here's the catch. As soon as you start playing this game, you will never, ever be able to stop playing, right? You're in it for life till you die. You're a parent till you die. So there's this game that you can play until you die. It will be, on one side, the most triggering and intense and difficult game where the stakes are the highest that you will ever play. But on the flip side, it will also be the most amazing, rewarding and fulfilling game of all time. Do you wanna? Hey, you're a parent, that's what you sign up for. It's the contrast. The lows are low, but the highs are so high. Now you could take it one step further. If we take that example of a game, like say it's even a video game, what is getting married? What is getting into a relationship? Who is your partner in this, right? That's your player two. So it's you and your partner and the child and player one, player two, embarking on this intense up and down game. And you'll learn so much about yourself, about life, about your values, about what really matters. And that too, having a child immediately back to prioritizing shows you what matters, right? Shows you ultimately just, yeah, what you truly authentically care about. And I guess I'll end it on this. I didn't want to mention this, funny enough. Just in this moment, it kicked in. And that's what's, I guess, cool about this. Guess what? In this moment, imagining too. Another reason I wanted to start a podcast and keep it a bit more personal too, and it'll be educational, but I also want to just once more share what I'm going through, share my life, share just how I am, right? Outside of just being on stage, is that and not to get too dark here, but recently I had a minor cancer scare, where, not to freak you out, and again, I didn't want to bring this up, but not to freak you out, one day, I don't know why, I was in the shower and I was like, let me feel my neck, weirdly, right? And I felt like a small, like, little bump, and it's called neck nodules. And I was like, what is that? Oh, weird. Oh no. And I started getting all paranoid, and I went to the doctor and they scanned it, and it's very common to have neck nodules. So if you feel a bump, don't freak out. But one of them was big enough to be considered highly suspicious, to the point where I had to do a biopsy and a CT scan. And fortunately, it was benign. So again, minor scare. But it did, shake me up a little bit. I was still working, again, doing speeches, et cetera, but it did shake me up. And I don't have any regrets around me in my life. Like, for me, it's, if that was the end, okay, that's the end. I lived an intense and good life. Honestly, I did. But the biggest thing was all around my kids. That was the biggest thing. It was like, they're not going to get to know me. They're going to grow up without me. I won't see all that. And it was all around my kids. Now, going deeper, there's also perhaps an element where, and a friend mentioned this to me, perhaps dive into where it's like, well, don't you trust that they'll still be okay, right? Trust in them that they can handle life. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, right? There might be a core belief that's like, they can't handle life without me, without my guidance. You know, I'm Julian, I'm the coach guy, et cetera. So maybe there's an element to that. But the other one is like, I don't know. I don't want them to grow up without knowing me. Maybe that's also an element of ego, but it's not like, well, who was my dad? And then the only thing they have to see of who I am, is me on stage. And yeah, that's me. That's authentic, but it's an element of me. It's not all that is me. That's Julian on stage, right? I don't answer the phone like, hey, everyone, hey, this is Julian. I don't answer the phone like that. And it's, again, it's authentic. It's, in my opinion, the best of the best advice, but it's not all that is me. And I was thinking like, well, oh man, what if it comes back and I do have cancer, and what if it's like a high stage and et cetera? And I was thinking like, oh, am I going to be one of those people who, records future videos for your kids, right? It's like, hey, I know it's your 18th birthday right now. If you're watching this, it means I'm dead. Am I going to do that? And I was like, well, maybe. But then I was like, well, why don't I, I've been thinking about doing a podcast for a very long time. Why don't I combine that and just use this as a reason to do a podcast and keep it personal? Keep it educational, of course, but also personal. And, knock on wood, if it does happen down the line or whatnot, or who knows what happens, life keeps lifing, they can watch them. So it's like putting those videos just, not just for them, but publicly. I actually played around too, where it's like, man, or like, what if it'd be like, pieces of advice I would give, from the grave or something. That's like, that's dark. But anyway, that for the sake of keeping it real and raw, that was, that definitely played a small part in starting this, So anyways, that's the gist of it. Okay. So buckle your seatbelt, how to transform your parenting experience when it comes to your kids, when it comes to yourself. Brace yourself for the next episode. Comment below if you have questions or, requests of things you'd like to see me talk about or cover. This is a passion project for me. It's simply just, hey, here's me. Here's how I am. Here's what I'm going through. Here's what I'm learning when it comes to parenting, when it comes to reparenting yourself. So I hope you enjoyed the format, and more specifically, I hope you enjoyed this beautiful background. And as always, I will see you next time.